2 Timothy chapter number 4, and let's stand together, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, look at the very next verse. This is kind of our text verse, verse number 9. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." And then skip to verse number 21. It also goes along with verse number 9. "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Do thy diligence to come before winter. And I want you to think about tonight, as I give this to you, some things that we must do on purpose. Some things we must do on purpose. I am not the hardest worker in the world by any means, but one thing I can, my life's goal is work smarter, not harder. And just read the instructions. Why be dumb and spend 5 hours on something instead of spending 30 because you read the directions? Work smarter, not harder. But one thing I cannot stand is talking about work instead of working. I'd rather just get busy working than to stand around for an hour talking about what all I have planned to do. I'd rather just get on it and get busy. And tonight I want you to see if there's an area maybe that's mentioned here in Scripture that we do a lot of talking about. Yeah, I've got to do that one day. And what we need to do is just get busy doing it. Things we must do on purpose. Paul said to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Do thy diligence to come before winter. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us tonight to see these areas of truth? And I pray, God, if there's an area we're weak in, we'll stop talking about it and we'll just get busy on purpose doing what you want us to do. Help us, I pray tonight. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is sitting in a Roman jail as he pens this letter to Timothy. He is looking at the death penalty, and all he did was preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they threw him in jail for it, and they gave him the death penalty. Nero, the evil Roman emperor at that time, was soon going to have Paul beheaded. Paul didn't know if his sentence would be carried out in months or weeks or maybe just a few days. He just knew that soon his life on earth and his work for Christ would be over. He had lived his Christian life in such a way that he was without hesitation ready to see his Savior face to face, because he said it in verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And I wonder today, just by way of introduction, that are we ready? Are you completely ready to meet your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you met him today, if the Lord called you home today, would everything be right between you and him? The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, "Now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." 1 John 4:17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." We talked about godliness in Sunday school this morning. So if the Lord came back right now, would you be ready to meet your Maker? It's amazing when you look at the history of the early church and the early followers of Christ. It's amazing what they were willing to endure for the gospel's sake. We think of Paul here, who is in not discouraged at all. He's not down and out at all. He's not quitting. He said, "I finished my course. I fought a good fight." But yet he's about to be beheaded. When you go and read up on some of the early church members and some of the apostles and how they died, here's what you'll find out. The deacon, Stephen, was stoned to death. And we read about that death in the book of Acts. None of us have been stoned to death. None of us have ever seen someone stoned to death. History tells us that Mark, John Mark, the writer of the book of Mark, the way he died was they dragged him, they drug him to his death until he died. History tells us that Luke, the physician, Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, Luke, who God used to pen the words of the book of Acts, Luke, the great physician that traveled with the Apostle Paul in ministry, the Bible says he didn't die in his good old age. The Bible says he didn't retire and just, you know, put his 30 and 40 years into ministry. The Bible says, or not the Bible, but the history books tell us about the man, Luke, that he was hanged. They hung him. That's how he died and went to meet Jesus. History tells us that Peter, the Apostle Peter, was crucified upside down because they wanted to crucify him and kill him, but he did not want the privilege of being crucified like his Savior, so he asked them to crucify him upside down. Jude, we read the little letter of Jude, and history tells us that Jude, the way he died, he was shot to death with arrows. See, we think we suffer because we made the big old choice to come to church tonight on a 100-degree day. Thomas, oh, doubting Thomas, history tells us that Thomas, the apostle, was pierced through with spears. Listen to this. Bartholomew, one of the apostles, you're going to hate this one. History tells us that Bartholomew was skinned alive. William Tyndale is responsible for giving us our English Bible today. William Tyndale was burned at the stake in 1536. His final words there as he was being burned at the stake was, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And guess what? In 1604, God did open the King of England's eyes. That's why we have an authorized King James Version. It was King James in 1604 who wanted a complete English Bible and had it done. And they started that process in 1607 and were completed it in 1607. And we got our King James 1611 Bible when it was finally put out. I'm missing out some years, messing up some years there in my mind. But you get the point. William Tyndale was burned at the stake. Now, with the martyrdom of these saints of God in view, you and I have suffered nothing for the cause of Christ. Nothing. Miss Parker just said it. You sit in the bus church and you have a half-empty room and you think, where are all the kids? And you realize it's summer, but it's still somewhat discouraging. And it is sometimes when God works his greatest is whenever we think, well, you know, it's just a small crowd. And a pastor that cares, some don't care, but a pastor that cares, yeah, he's concerned with everyone being in church and being faithful. Y'all don't know this yet, but I'm on the front page of the Revival Fires this month. I'll give a minute for that to sink in. I'm not like the old men front page, but my picture's right there. It's not out yet, but I'll make sure you get a copy when it comes in. But in that message, they took the message from Revival Fires Conference last year. But in that message, I said, I'm one of those guys that 99% of people could be in church. I'll notice the two families that are missing and wonder why in the world they wouldn't be faithful. I just think that folks ought to be faithful to church. But we are living, unfortunately, in a Laodicean age. Revelation 3, the Bible says, under the angel of the church of Laodicea, of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And God goes on to say, you think you have need of nothing. And that's the problem today. We have need of nothing. We've got our Bible. We've got our pastor. We've got our church. We've got our furniture. We've got our air conditioners, we've got our comfortable pews, we've got everything. If we're there, fine. If we're not, fine. No big deal. Don't worry about me. You had Christians 2,000 years ago willing to be drugged through the streets to their death, hung and killed, shot through with arrows, skinned alive, burned at the stake for the cause of Christ. And yet today we're so lethargical. You're going to get involved. Well, I'll get involved, but what effort are you going to put into it? I'll be there. And friend, listen, we're living in that day and age, but just because we're living in the Laodicean day and age doesn't mean we had to be Laodicean. It doesn't mean we had to be cold. It doesn't mean we had to be lukewarm and lethargic. We ought to live an on-purpose Christian life. Rather than just floating from one week to the next, we ought to live every week with purpose. Let me ask you a question today. Did you give leftovers to the people you ministered to, or did you give whatsoever thy hand findeth to do? Do it with thy might. Notice our text in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 9 again. There where Paul's writing to Timothy. In verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse number 21 again, do thy diligence to come before winter. Paul doesn't just tell Timothy nonchalantly, hey, why don't you drop in sometime and see me? He uses the word diligence. That word diligence means steady application in business of any kind, constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. In other words, when he says do thy diligence, it means do something on purpose. Paul said, Timothy, my time is short. Timothy, I'm going to be out of here pretty soon. Don't just talk about it. Timothy, on purpose, I want you to plan a trip and I want you to get it done. And I love the fact he throws in there, Timothy, I want you to, on purpose, get here before winter. You'll say, why? Did he think he was going to die before winter? No, he needed a coat. Read it a few verses before then. And he said, bring the parchments, bring the books, but especially bring the cloak. He wanted his coat. He said, dude, don't let me sit in this prison. If I'm still alive, don't let me freeze to death. So quit talking about what you might do one day. Quit thinking, well, I got to get on up there and see Apostle Paul. He said, do thy diligence to come see me. Make it a purpose. Make it a point to come see me. And he said, I want you to plan it out in such a way that by wintertime, you're here. Now, you know as well as I do, we talk about a lot of things in life that we would maybe like to do or like to get done one day. Yeah, we need to get on up there and see Grandma. And a week goes by, and a month goes by, and another month goes by, and 6 months goes by, and a year goes, you all know what I'm talking about. And we need to get to Fort Worth, see my parents, and a month goes by, and 2 months goes by, and 3 months go by. Well, I got to get that closet cleaned out. One of these days, I got to get that building cleaned out. Now, we don't do any building cleaning outing in July and August. You're crazy if you do so. You got a window unit in there or something, but that's what we do. Here's one. Man, I tell you what, I got to go on a diet. Last night, right before in the evening, I had my popcorn bowl. My popcorn bowl is that wide, and it's that deep. And I'm not kidding. It was overflowing. I walked in the living room. I always ask them, do you want some popcorn? And they're like, no. I walked in the living room, every one of them. Dad. Good grief. Sarah's like, you're going to have a heart attack, Dad. Josh was like, you're not going to be able to eat all that. I said, watch me. About 30 minutes later, empty bowl. All right? So I talk about diets, too, just like you do. I just don't do it. Now, we can think about these things, but thinking will never get them done. Matthew 6:27 says, and I'm paraphrasing, but you could think all day long about how much taller you want to be, but thought's not going to add one inch to your stature. We could be bothered about these things. We got to go see them. We've got to get that done. We've got to lose weight. We got to get this cleaned out. We could be challenged to do these things, but we'll never make them happen until we do them on purpose. And Paul said, Timothy, don't just sit around talking to come about you coming to see me. I want you to, on purpose, make it happen. And I want you to, on purpose, make it happen before winter. Now, the Bible tells us that there are some things we need to do on purpose or we'll never do them. We talk about these things. We think about these things. We are certainly challenged in these areas. But we'll never do them until we do them on purpose. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me give you number one. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll try to give these to you quickly tonight because you're kind of dead and my popcorn bowl is awaiting. So Hebrews chapter number 11. All right? It's amazing. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing what that heat will do to us that quick? I feel it too. And I slept today like a brick. Had crazy dreams. And I dreamed I was eating sunflower seeds. This was my Sunday afternoon nap. And I was talking to Brother Jeff Fugit. Y'all know him, right? He's like, we're like in Revival Fires papers together, stuff like that. And I had this dream. I was talking to Brother Fugit and Brother Ken Graham. I don't know why I was having a conversation with them, but I could not talk because I kept eating. Have you ever had sunflower seeds and there's a little stick in there? Every once in a while, there's a little bitty, some kind of stem or something. And I kept having all these stems, and Brother Fugit's office had my stems all over it. I don't know. Summertime dreams or chicken fried steak. I don't know what it was, but I know the wear and tear I feel on my body right now just because of the heat outside. But stay with me and let's get these truths and we'll get you out of here, all right? Number one is this: seeking Him must be done on purpose. All right, I'll explain it, but look at Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's that word. On purpose, seeking Him. What does that mean? Just as a parent searches for their lost child, okay? Even though the child's not lost. I'll give you two examples. I'm not making fun of Miss Braley. I'm just telling you what happened. But we were playing knockout the other day. All a bunch of people were in there. She happened to be right in front of me a couple of times to her own downfall. But we were playing knockout. All the 20 kids and adults were in line there, and you're throwing the ball and all this. And I'm telling you, we're all focused on this. And all of a sudden, I hear her say, "Where's my baby? She's in line." I don't know if you remember that or not. "Where's my baby?" Dad's way over here by the bounce house being a good dad, talking to his buddies. And I looked, and the baby was just a couple people away. One of the ladies, I think, had her or whatever. The baby wasn't lost, but Mom was diligently on purpose saying, "Dad, where's the baby?" This happened when we were little kids. My little brother, Sean, he was not 5 years old, because when we moved to Wills Point, let's see, he turned 41 this week. So he's about 4 years younger than me. I was 8 years old when we moved to Wills Point. This is before we moved to Wills Point. So Sean was about 4 years old. This is not exaggerating. We lived in Grand Prairie in the big city. We lived in a neighborhood there, and the neighborhood had a field like from here to this white building out here. It used to be Luna's out here, an open field, and then there was a highway like Highway 80. One time when Sean was 4 years old, he went missing. We couldn't find him anywhere. He went missing. And the whole neighborhood started looking for him. Sean David Ogden, my little brother, Mr. Mischievous, always has been. Went looking for him. Finally, we're out looking at that field. Everyone's panicking, looking. Here comes Sean walking across the highway with a package of M&Ms in his hand. 4 years old. He had walked all the way down the road, like walking to the shell, crossed the highway, stole the M&Ms. Some things never change. And stole the M&Ms, and I mean, my mom's panicked. They're searching diligently for him. Shannon and I are probably laughing, you know. They found him. I remember my mother going down that sidewalk, running down there, getting a hold of him, bringing him back. And like some of you mamas today, she'd be, "Oh, I'm just glad you're safe. I'm glad you're..." Nah, not the good mamas. The good mama whipped that little hiney for about 100 yards. We laughed at Sean for a week because those M&Ms melted on the sidewalk. And every time, "Sean, there's your M&Ms. Sean, you want some M&Ms? I think they're still good. Sean, there's your M&Ms." 4 years old, he crosses a main highway. Has the mindset to go and steal a... They were diligently seeking him. Just as a spouse may purposefully look for their spouse, because y'all know how it is. We get hard of hearing. And you're like, "Honey, where are you? Jeremy, where are you? Dad, where are you?" And sometimes I'll play a trick on her. I don't answer because I want her to think I'm like dead in the other room or something. So I won't answer. "I was calling you." What? You're calling me? And it's diligently seeking. Now, one purpose... every day we must seek Jesus. In other words, we cannot afford to let a day go by that we don't seek Him and spend time with the Lord. If you're not careful, you will look up and it's been 5 days since you talked to the Lord, since you looked in the Bible, since you thought about anything spiritually. Why? Because you didn't do it on purpose. You didn't make it happen. There was not a time and a place. And so, number one, we have to seek Him. Seeking Him must be done on purpose. Just like if you woke up in the morning and you didn't find your child, if it's one of those Parker kids that breaks out of the bed jail, you couldn't find your child in the bed, or you couldn't find him in their room, you couldn't find him in the backyard. You'd be everywhere looking the same way. God says, hey, wake up tomorrow and look for me. Look for me. And guess what? He's always near. But seek him. And the Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But if you don't seek him, you won't find him again until Wednesday nights. Yeah. Seek him on purpose. Things that must be done on purpose. Paul said, Timothy, don't just talk about it. You say, well, I got to get back to a place where I'm reading my Bible every day. Stop talking about it and just say, I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow at such and such time. I'm going to give me a little prayer list. I'm going to start praying. Seeking him must be done on purpose. Number two is this. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. All right, seeking him must be done on purpose. Here's another one the Bible teaches us here. Growing spiritually must be done on purpose. Growing spiritually must be done on purpose. If you go into Sarah's room, which you shouldn't, number one, you guys don't need to be in her room. Number two, good grief, it's a makeup factory. But if you went into her room like we did, because she hates us when we go in her room, she's not there. But we went in her room the other day, Joshua and we were playing with your curling irons and all that kind of stuff. One time she was out of town, and I went and climbed in her bed in my suit, took a picture. Hey, Sarah, glad you're out of town. You know, don't touch you girls. Don't touch my stuff. Especially to your brothers. Chase, does your sisters treat you like that? Don't touch my stuff. Don't. I know, they're mean. Mean. They get up here and sing like they... Oh, we're loving. We're with you, Chase. So anyway, Sarah's got on her door frame, her and Joshua, they do their measurements every year, and they'll write it on them. My mother's done this for years. If she ever dies, we're going to have to cut the wood out, stick it in her grave with her. Yeah, since they were little babies, she measures the kids. Some of you probably do that. Well, Sarah and Joshua, maybe you started this misogyny. I don't know. I'm around the house a lot. I don't know who does this, but anyways, so I took Joshua in there, and I said, let's measure you. I said, look at there, about a year ago, Sarah quit measuring you guys. She gave up because you passed her, and she gave up. So I said, let's measure you. Stop talking because you're interrupting my message, Sarah. All right? And so Joshua's like 2017, 2018, 2019, you know? Sarah's like 2017. 2018, 2019, you know, you girls. Josh was grown and he hasn't even tried. I mean, him and Ronald McDonald have made it happen over the last two or three years, all right? He's a teenage boy and he's hit that growth spout and he's a tall guy. He's as tall as me. He's as big as me. Didn't even have to try. But friend, listen to me. Those of us, if we're going to grow spiritually, it's not going to be done on accident. We're not going to look up in 6 months and say, well, I'm a better Christian today than I was 6 months ago. Not just because you might be fatter, you might be taller, but you're not going to be more spiritual 6 months from now unless you on purpose make it happen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. God says, on purpose. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. All right, so God says we're to seek him on purpose. If we don't, then we're going to wake up. We're not going to care if God's in the room or not. We're not going to give him any attention. We're going to go through half of our day and never think of anything spiritual. Never sing a spiritual song. Never read a spiritual book. Never talk to a spiritual father. We're going to go halfway through our day never seeking Jesus. Until we get in trouble, then we want to seek Jesus. We'll go halfway through our week. We'll go till next Sunday unless on purpose we wake up tomorrow and diligently seek him. All right? Now, in Acts chapter 17 says, if we'll seek him, we'll find him. Seeking him must be done on purpose. But growing spiritually must be done on purpose again. You know, when you're a teenager, you grow by accident. You just grow. That's what you do as a teenager. When you're an adult, you grow out without even trying. You just grow out with those big popcorn bowls. We will not grow spiritually unless we mean to grow. We must on purpose be faithful when there is an opportunity to be in God's house. We must on purpose be faithful. If you do not on purpose say, when God's house is open, I'm going to be in the Lord's house, you will not be in God's house. You must on purpose listen and apply the truths of God's word to your life. You could sit in Sunday school week after week after week, and you could say, well, I'm not getting anything. Well, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Doesn't matter what the teacher is, who he is, doesn't matter who she is, doesn't matter what the lesson is, but you have to on purpose want to listen and be a hearer of the word and be a doer of the word and apply it to your life. You have to on purpose sit in preaching and say, God, speak to me, and apply it to my heart and apply it to my life. We have to on purpose get in the book so that the book can get in us. But there are some things we must do on purpose. We could say, well, you know, I feel like I've hit this level. I feel like I've hit this plane in my Christian life. I'm just not growing anymore. Let me tell you how to fix that. You're going to have to on purpose start growing again. No one can do it for you. You on purpose. You say, well, I'm reading my Bible. Read more of the Bible. Well, I'm listening to preaching. Listen to more of preaching. Get a hold of every bit of good preaching. And it's all over the internet now. Good, fundamental, Bible-believing, independent Baptist preachers. You can go back to days of old and Lester Roloff. And I'm telling you listen to him every day, and God will speak to you about something. There's a big old fat preacher named Billy Kelly. He's been dead a long time, but big old guy. You think he's going to have a heart attack when he preaches. Go look up Billy Kelly and type it in. God will set your fields on fire. And a powerful message about how God will get our attention. Friend, one of the most convicting messages I ever listened to was on CD by Brother Larry Brown. Amen. And he preached a message on Joab and David and preached a message of someone have a letter on you. And man, it was convicting. Now, I'm telling you, if you've hit a plane, you say, well, you know, I'm not growing much. Then what you're going to have to do is decide to grow, because it's not, there's no one stunting your growth except for you. You're talking about it. Maybe you're comfortable. Maybe you're Laodicean. Maybe you say, well, I've done all that I can do. No, you haven't. Till the day you die, you need to be an example. You older folks need to be an example to the young people that you serve God till you die, and you serve God with faithfulness till you die, and you serve God with joy until you die. But if we're going to grow spiritually, we can't just talk about it. Well, I'll tell you what, I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be. Diligently, amen. Diligently start adding to your faith once again. When I'm in a valley in my life, I will on purpose, try to listen to preaching messages every day. Listen to a message. I will on purpose play some songs every day, the right kind of songs. Why? Because I want to dig out of that valley. And I'm not going to dig out of that valley if I spend 6 days thinking about how bad my life is, 6 days having a pity party, and one day a week think, all right, preacher, throw the rope down. You better pull me out of here. Guess what? It ain't going to happen. And then you're going to blame the church, and you're going to blame going to church, when the truth is the person in the mirror is who's to blame, because you're talking about growing, but you got to do these things on purpose. Come diligently to see me, Paul said to Timothy. So we've got to seek God on purpose. We have to grow spiritually. Got to be done on purpose. Number three is this. Living clean must be done on purpose. Living clean must be done on purpose. Adults, listen to me. Young people, listen to me tonight. Living clean and sin free doesn't happen just because we want it to happen. It happens because we on purpose want it to happen. We make it happen. You young adults in here that are not married, I don't care if you're engaged or you're not engaged and don't know where he or she may be. Listen to me. The only way you're going to stay clean and stay pure is because on purpose you make that happen. Teenagers, the only way you're going to keep from sin in your life is because on purpose you tell a mom or you tell a dad or you tell a cousin or you tell a so-called friend, I can't do those things. I'm not talking like this. I'm not laying out of church. I'm not listening to the joke. The only way we're going to stay clean is if it's done on purpose. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Protect your heart on purpose. I mentioned in my Sunday school class, and I'll not belabor the point tonight, but that message that Brother Gray preached at youth camp 2.5 weeks ago, man, it has stuck with me. The message on purity, because we always hear purity messages about young people, stay pure till you're married. But the whole message was about keeping yourself from other people's sins. And as a Christian, if I'm going to live a pure life, have a pure heart and mind, I'm going to have to watch the right stuff and listen to the right stuff and go to the right places and be around. And our mind is so cluttered with junk as it is today. Without even trying, our mind is so cluttered with stuff that's just thrown out at us. The only way we're going to live clean is if we diligently, diligently keep our heart. It happens as a result of living clean on purpose. That's how we live sin-free. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You young guys, listen to me. If you're going to keep from looking at the wrong thing on the internet, it's only going to be because you do so on purpose. If you wander around aimlessly, you're going to wander into some junk that you can't get out of your mind, you can't get out of your heart. It's going to mess your life up. The only way you're going to stay away from that is on purpose. Some of you young men in here, some of you young ladies in here, maybe some young adults in here, if no one's going to do this for you, you ought to evaluate the video games you're playing and the people you're interacting with and the friends that you have because of that. I don't care if you see them or not. And you ought to say, is this right for me? What language are they using? What music are they using? How are the people dressed on the game? No one can do that for you. You have to on purpose say, I want to live a cleaner life. I want to have a purer mind. I want to live a life that honors God. That will not happen because we sit around and say, you know, one of these days, I tell you what, one of these days, Mom and Dad, we need to go through all those DVDs we have in our house. One of these days, Mom and Dad, we need to go through those VCR tapes. One of these days, we need to go through those novels. But I'll tell you, one of these days, we're going to have to go through some of that stuff we have. And, you know, we're just going to see, you know, that might have been a funny show, but maybe it wasn't a clean show. Maybe it wasn't a right show. We'll never do it unless we do it on purpose. Paul said, Timothy, I don't have much time. Don't just tell me you're going to come see me. And don't just maybe say, well, I've got to get on out there one day. And then a month passes and 6 months and a year and a half. He says, Paul, he says, Timothy, I want you to diligently, on purpose, plan a visit. And he said, I want you to do thy diligence to come before winter. I don't know exactly when it was there. But he said, I want you to set a deadline. Wouldn't that be great if we just said, you know what? It's time for me to start seeking God again. And it's starting tomorrow morning. It's time for me to get some things cleaned up tomorrow in my life. It's starting when I go home tonight. And you know what's right and you know what's wrong. And so does God, by the way. Living clean must be done on purpose. The Bible says in Psalm 17, verse 1, Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. He said, I'm being real about this. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Living clean must be done on purpose. Number four is this. Look at Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Seeking Him must be done on purpose. Otherwise, we're going to lose the Lord. We're going to get far from Him. We're going to feel far from Him. Though He be not far from every one of us, it's just a matter of we have to seek Him. We have to make Him a part of our daily life. Growing spiritually, we could say, well, I'm just not where I want to be. Well, stop talking about work and start working. Stop talking about it and do what it takes to get yourself over that hump. Get yourself out of that rut. Living clean must be done on purpose. Is there something tonight, Spirit of God speaking to your heart about? Something that's not clean. No one can do it for you. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You have to decide. And guess what? If we conceal it, God reveals it. If we confess it, God conceals it. I don't know about you. I don't know that I would want the everybody knows what I've been doing as a young man or everyone knows what I've been doing as a husband, or everyone knows what I've been doing as a wife. I'd rather just get my heart right with God tonight and on purpose go home and say, there's some things I got to get rid of. There's some friends on social media I don't need. There's some maybe some social media sites I don't need to be on. Maybe it's a weakness to you in some area. It will not happen as long as you just keep talking about it. You just got to make it happen. By the way, it doesn't always have to be sin. We're to lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Wait. You know why I'm not on Facebook anymore? Wait. Wait. Got too many things to do. And I get on there and it's 15 minutes, then it's 30 minutes. Then I'm in the middle of an argument. Then I'm being nosy. Then all I'm doing is reading about everybody else's life. And then I'm reading about everybody's whines and complaints. And then I'm reading my church members who skip church on Sunday and on Monday want to put memes on 10 reasons they love Jesus and that stuff. It was just a weight to me. It wasn't necessarily sinful. It was just a weight. And I said, man, I need a break. And by the way, if you take a break, don't go online and tell everybody I'm taking a break. The crowd that does that, 6 days later, they're back on. That's a joke just between you and God. Say, there's some weight in my life I need to get rid of. Living clean must be done on purpose. Hebrews 6 tells us this. Number 4, serving the Lord must be done on purpose. Serving the Lord must be done on purpose. Well, one of these days I'm going to get involved. No, you won't. Until you decide to do it on purpose. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I love this verse. No matter if no one else sees, God sees. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. He says we want you to purposefully continue to minister and do the work of God. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Serving the Lord must be done on purpose. I realize there are some, and usually it's teenagers, that'll say, preacher, I'd like to help here. I'd like to do this here, and I'd like to do this there. And sometimes you just have to wait. You just have to wait for the right time, the right area of ministry. Sometimes it's young adults that say, I'd like to do this and I'd like to do that. And I've kind of got you in a holding pattern. Some of it's because your life's about to change and you have things that you deal with. And I can see that and I know that. And marriage changes you. Having babies changes you. It's time consuming there for a while. And so we have a lot of people that want to work in several areas. We have others that may be moving here and may serve the Lord here and want to serve and want to get involved. And that's great. And sometimes we go through a time where I can't find workers. We have other times where there are 5 or 6. Let me do this and let me do that. But I tell you what, if we're going to work, we need to work. Bus worker means worker. Children's church worker means worker. Bus worker, bus church worker means worker. And that's what we need. But serving the Lord must be done on purpose, all right? Not just in passing. Well, one of these days I'm going to get busy. Or, well, pastor, you got to find me something to do. But I mean on purpose, do what God wants you to do. And then the last one is this. It's found in Luke chapter number 15. Sorry to say Luke 10. It's found in Luke chapter number 15. The Bible says this in Luke 15, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So he's using this idea of a lady who lost a silver piece. Out of 10 silver pieces, she lost one silver piece. And he says, this woman on purpose looked for that piece. This woman on purpose worked and would not give up until she found that piece. And then she calls her friends and says, I found it. And he likens that to people being saved. So I want to say this, number 5, witnessing must be done on purpose. Witnessing must be done on purpose. You know that, and I know that. We never witness on accident. We pass up a lot of people on purpose. But if we're going to witness to more people, you say, I need to. There are times we'll have preachers come through here and preach, and they'll challenge us in some ways, and the track rack will be empty every weekend. Every weekend it's knocked out and knocked out and knocked out. Then we'll go through times it just kind of sits back there. It's by the water fountain, but it just sits back there. the fellow comes in today. Sure, you have some like the ones a couple weeks ago that complained that you know, over stupid stuff that call us. But then you have the crowd that says, hey, thank you for the cup of cold water and the gospel of Jesus Christ attached to that bottle of water. Hey, thank you for leaving a track on my house yesterday. I came to church today because someone left a track yesterday. Friend, listen, that stuff had to be planned and prepared, had to be done on purpose. So if we're going to witness tomorrow, we're going to have to be as this lady. She diligently sought that piece of silver until she found it. We on purpose are going to have to say, all right, Lord, here it is. I'm going to quit talking about needing to witness more. And the first person I run into when I leave church tonight, I'm going to give them a gospel track. And in the morning, and I'm going to stop and get coffee, and there's a fellow sitting there getting coffee with me, I'm going to hand him a gospel tract. These are things we must do on purpose. Paul said, Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Don't just talk about it, Timothy. I have but a short time. And God says we have but a short time, redeeming the time. Paul says, Timothy, do it on purpose. What is it tonight that you need to make happen in your life? Are you seeking him daily? Or is that something you say, I got to get back to that? Quit talking, start working. Is it spiritual growth? You say, well, I'm kind of stagnant right now. Well, it's not your teacher's fault. It's not your preacher's fault. It's not your spouse's fault. You have to decide, I'm pulling out of this spiritual rut. I'm going to start growing again. Is it separation? You've allowed some things in your life that are unclean, that are not right. Maybe some of you young people just since camp have gotten back into something that's not right for your life. Hey, confess it as sin and forsake it. Walk away from it. But you're going to have to on purpose walk away from it tomorrow. Some of you, your attitude at camp and your prayers at camp was to treat mom right, dad better, grandparents better, that sort of stuff. And since camp, you've already been in trouble. And kids are imperfect, just like parents are imperfect. But I mean, you have seriously gone back to acting the same way you were acting before camp. Why? Because you're not on purpose living clean. Maybe it's service. You know God wants you to do something. You say, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Hey, guess what? Anybody can help with Vacation Bible School. You may not take an area of ministry right now that you need to do week after week after week. You just get involved where you can, and you be faithful where you can, and you serve where you can. Some of you that are serving need to put more energy and effort into what you're doing once again, and zeal into what you're doing once again. Quit using older age as an excuse. Again, I'm nobody, and I talked about the revival fire tonight, and I'm kind of proud of that. We don't ask to be in that. They just, out of all the preachers, they put you in there. But I'm going to tell you this, at 44 years old, I'm tired. I am tired. 19 years of pastoring, I am pretty tired and worn out, but I feel like I preach with the same energy and the same zeal and the same fire that I did 19 years ago. Quit saying, well, now I'm middle-aged, I just don't have the energy. Well, now I'm a grandpa, grandma, I just don't have the energy. Maybe you don't have the same energy for that same area of ministry. But friend, listen, the thing is, we're giving God leftovers because we're not serving on purpose. We're not here to babysit. We're here to motivate and encourage and challenge. And then that area of soul winning, that's probably a weakness in most every one of our lives, is witnessing to people on a daily basis. I gave you that little sticker just by chance tonight. I happened to pass that out. Maybe God's just wanting to remind us as we're driving down the road and we're sitting at McDonald's and we're getting that order, and maybe we look at that sticker there and we go, E3, everyone, oh yeah. Can I give you this before I leave? What is it tonight that you need to do on purpose? Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.